Blog Talk Radio.
Let's get it popping, show. I mean, let's get it popping, y'all. Urban Therapy with Sun 752, and this is Urban Therapy with Sun Show. We do this every single weekend from 11 o'clock till around 12:30-ish. And the reason that we say 12:30-ish is because sometimes it gets so heated that we just have to do a little OT on a Sunday. And it is Sunday, first day of spring, second, first. It depends on how you look at it, you know what I mean? Because we can look at it as being the first day of spring because Sunday is technically biblically the first day of the month. Actually, wait, they said God rested on the seventh day, right? I don't know, man. It's a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope. I mean, what is it? Anyway, this is the show where adults come out and play with other adults. We laugh, we cry, we argue, fuss and fight, go back and forth with each other, busting up all crazy. We push each other on the swings, up the sliding board. We playing on the merry-go-round in the sandbox. We take an introspective look into our own personality and try to figure out this thing in the universe that we call life and try to figure out how we fit into this thing, into this world that we are in. I'm your host, Sun 752, a.k.a. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. It is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show, and we are in motion today. Today on this beautiful day, this first day of Aries, this glorious day, the 20th, the 21st of March, we are talking about what working on yourself really means. And what does it mean? What do we mean when we say that we working on ourselves? You know what I mean? Now, individually, we've probably all said this to ourselves or said it to somebody else. A lot of times people are working on themselves when they when the beginning of the year starts. A good time to work on yourself for a lot of people is the beginning of the year. We're going to start the year off fresh. New Year's resolution. You're working on yourself. Now, what you have to ask yourself with a lot of people, and I don't know if y'all thought about this before, but think about this. You know how some people work on themselves openly? They want everybody to know, yo, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm working on this, I'm asking for help. Any suggestions that people have? You know, I'm really trying to get this thing together because I know that there are things that I need in my life, there are things that I want in my life, and there are things that I want to do. And in order for me to do them, in order for me to stop making mistakes, and in order for me to stop having these setbacks, and in order for me to stop suffering these disappointments, I need to work on myself. So you do recognize that there is something going on in your space, in your world that you need to address personally. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're taking full accountability for it. It may be on a more egotistical level, such as if you want it done right, you got to do it yourself. If you want it done right, got to do it yourself. Ain't nobody going to do for you what you want. So sometimes you got to do for self. Don't front. And I ask you to help, but you all about self. I ask you to come through, but you got too much to do. I ask you to assist me. All you did was turn around and did me both. So I'm working on myself. I'm working on myself, and I'm going to get myself together and my health and my money straight, and I'm going to get my mind right. Everything is going to be game tight. I am Sun 752, and you are you, and I'm glad I'm talking to you now. So some people openly work on themselves, and some people work on themselves on the low. Yeah, just keeping it a buck. Some people work on themselves on the low because, no, let me ask y'all, what are some of the reasons that people would not want people to know outright that they are working on themselves? You know what I mean? Why wouldn't you want people to know that you are trying to do better for yourself, trying to make improvements? One of the things I can think of immediately, because I've been through this, is I believe that this is influenced by movies and TV. You want to bust out like, y'all thought I was doing this, but I'm doing that. You know how in the movies, two people can be talking to each other, and then all of a sudden somebody comes into the screen like, bow. Like, you know in real life you can hear somebody coming. You know in real life you can see somebody coming. But in the movies, it ain't like that. They just come on the screen like, you don't see my hand right now. Boom. Now you see my hand. You know, that's how it would be in the movies. And I think that that may have influenced some of us to employ the old, don't let the right hand know what your left hand doing, or don't, whatever. How it go? Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, whatever. I think that there may be some of that type of mentality that goes into that action. You know what I mean? Like, the other thing I've heard, the other reason that I've heard that people work on themselves secretly is because you don't want nobody to block your blessings. I don't want nobody getting in my way. I can't have my blessings blocked today. I know that when you sell somebody your plan, sometimes they try to shoot you down and they don't want to see you advance. But y'all got to do this. I got to take another chance. Word. So I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And when I come through, they're going to be like, what? Oh, shit. So, you know. So that's what we're talking about today. What's going on, my brother from another mother, Norris Hill? That's up, my brother from another mother, Norris Hill. What's up, my brother? Thanks for coming on through. I'm glad to see you. You know how we do. Ooh, 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 ooh. Working on yourself and what it really means. That's what we're talking about today on the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Working on yourself. What working on yourself really means. Are y'all working on yourselves now? You can admit it. You can tell me. I know that we just got finished talking about how some people want to work on themselves secretly. But I mean, let me know. What is working on yourself to you? When you work on yourself, what are you doing? What do you, you know, how does that, how exactly does it go down? You know, your health. That's one of the things that comes to my mind immediately. Your health. When you know that you are not doing things to make yourself feel better, particularly when people gain weight. You know how women get, especially this past year, when a lot of people, but women notwithstanding, have put on a few pounds. These pandemic pounds is real. And you know most people, I'm saying most people, have put on some pounds. People been in the house, you know, haven't been able to get to the gym, have been discouraged from going out and exercising and taking care of themselves. So a lot of people are working on themselves in terms of trying to lose that weight, which means that you're just trying to get healthier. But sometimes there are certain illnesses that we are trying to avoid. You know, during this time, if you have diabetes, your diabetes may have gotten a little worse. During this time, if you've been struggling with your weight, you may have been really losing the struggle and wondering why you can't win. Sometimes when you're painted into a situation, but you're still trying like you felt like you were doing before, and it's not working out, and you really forget that when the world was open, when the economy was open, you were doing this thing and that. Let's say you were walking 2 or 3 miles a day, and now you're not doing that, but you may walk 1 mile, and you're wondering why you're not getting the same results. Well, you know, if your body gets used to walking 3 on your way to 4, and you drop it down to 1, well, you can't expect it to maintain. So you may be working on yourself as far as that's concerned. Brothers getting in the gym, because, you know, niggas done gained weight. I gained mad weight over the years. And, I mean, over the past year, I ain't liking it. You know what I'm saying? I'm working on it. And it's not as easy. It's not as easy. It, you know, you're getting older. The weight doesn't come off as easily. And one of the reasons that the weight doesn't come off as easily as it may have when you were younger is because you are not as active as you were. I know you want to believe that you were, but think about it like this. When you were younger, you know, during those days when you couldn't gain no weight, you walked a lot. My friends didn't have cars as teenagers. They just didn't. I didn't grow up in that type of community. If you had a car when you was a teenager, you was the shit. It was like when you had your own phone line in your house, like your mom gave you your own phone line. She ain't going to be picking up the line upstairs, like listening in on you. No. So you walked. You walked to the, even if you caught the bus and the train, you walked to the bus, you walked to the train. Now you walk to your goddamn sidewalk and get in the car. And a lot of times you're only going around a corner. You're only going around the corner, and you get used to getting your fucking on your way to being flabby ass in the car. You've been doing a lot of sitting down. And you're thinking that just because you go out, you're still just as active. No, it's not the same. It's not the same. So when you were younger and your metabolism was on tilt, it's because you was on tilt. You was walking. In the city of Philadelphia, when they came out with trans passes, it was like that was the greatest thing in the world. You can get from Germantown to South Philly, North Philly, West Philly, Southwest, Kensington. Nobody would want to go there. I want to go there. But if you want to go there, you can go there. Didn't have to pay. You had your little pass, and you could travel all over the city. It was all good. Even if you wanted to go out in the burbs, you might have had a Zone 1 pass, a Zone 2, whatever it took, you could. You could get there, but you walked. You still walked, and you were still active. So even though you might have been pigging out a lot, but you still were able to burn off those pounds because you walked. You walked, and you ran. You played ball, sports, and shit like that. challenge motherfuckers. You ain't faster than me. Yes, I am. No, you not. Race me. No, I ain't going to race you, man, because you're not me. I already know I can beat you. No, race me. All right, put up $10. Put up $10. Yeah, and you were raised. You were more active. So if you're working on yourself now because you've gained weight, it could definitely be because you are not moving around. And you don't even recognize that. I may have just reminded some of y'all, like, damn. Yeah. Because even when I went to school, we walked to school. We walked around school. We walked from school. So even if I got a hoagie, some chips, and a sausage, whatever, you know what I'm saying, I still was able to kind of burn that off. And that was breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So, yeah, we ate a lot, but we burned off a lot, and we didn't really recognize it. But we didn't have cars. I'm not saying that cars are unhealthy, but sometimes you just gotta walk. So, it is what it is. Narcil says, some people may verbally cheer you on, but only serve as a speed bump. Interesting. Cal Chamberlain says, when I'm working on myself, I'm trying to promote self-growth in areas I feel deficient. My health, my mental health, my overall well-being. Yeah. Working on your health is something that requires a lot of concentration, and it requires some real tenacity. You got to stick to the script. And if you are really trying to get healthy in terms of increasing your stamina and your endurance, not just, if you increase your stamina and endurance and things like that, it's going to trickle down into any other health conditions that you may be afflicted by. So, what you're going to find a lot of times is that you have to switch up the exercises that you do. You know, you may like to just do one exercise, and when you stop doing that exercise, you may find that your health declines, and when you start doing that exercise again, it starts to improve your health. But you got to find some other exercises because your body gets used to doing one thing, and then it stops responding to it. See, our whole lives are centered around trying to get comfortable. We try to get comfortable in all situations, because we know that if we become comfortable, then we feel safe, and we like to feel safe. All living things want to be in an area, in a situation where they feel safe and away from harm, which is what safety is, you know. But that can be physical harm, and that can be mental and emotional harm. You don't want nobody teasing you, making you feel bad. So if you're the type of person that has been teased and ridiculed and humiliated by other people, you may start working on yourself. Like, I'm going to stop people from being able to say this shit. Unfortunately, sometimes there are certain things that we can't fix that are the object of our depression and our frustration. Like, if you were born with a lazy eye, you can't fix that. I mean, you can't fix it. So the best thing to do is to work around it. Find something else that will allow you to have confidence so that thing doesn't seem to stick out as much. And there's nothing that builds more confidence than knowing how to do something better than other people know how to do it. It'll keep a lot of the heat off your back. And that's why it's important for parents to involve their children in the sports and other extracurricular activities where they can get their shine on. Every child needs somebody to say, wow, you're really good at this. Yo, go get such and such when we do this thing because they're good at it. You know, you got kids running around with their chest poked out like, shit, hell yeah. La Crush Hearts. What up, La Cruz? La Cruz Hearts. What's up, Crush? How you doing, Brooklyn? been down with La Crush over 10 years now. Let's see. That was back in 2009, Crush. That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Good to see me some, you know. So, yeah. So, you know, when you have something like a lazy eye or a mole or something like that, something that you really can't control, you know, unfortunately, that is some people's thing that they feel like they're going to try to work on. I would say a better idea is to work through that. You don't have to work on that. Work through that. You know what I mean? Don't let that be the thing that tears people down. So then there's some physical work that you might want to do, but that's not going to take away from that thing, the visibility of that imperfection. Let's call it that. But there's more mental and emotional work that needs to be done. So, you know, you have to kind of get your Sade on and get your soul a little bit more bulletproof. It ain't going to be totally bulletproof, but you want to get it to the point where you can definitely take a shot. And it pays to have a sense of humor. It does. It pays to have a sense of humor because people will find out when you're sensitive. When they find your soft spot, they're going to keep pushing. And some of them might feel justified, you know, by jabbing at it like, well, you got to stop being a pussy. You know what I mean? Fuck that. So you want to find something that you're confident in. And honestly, you know, the question that I asked earlier, like, why do some people keep the fact that they're working on themselves secret? That might be one of the reasons, because they don't want people. Man, I've told y'all this story before, but for people who haven't heard this story before, I'm going to tell it again. When we first started the Mind Right and Body Better Fitness program, and we were exercising outside, right out there in the park, we would all bring our blankets or yoga mats out there, and we was exercising, and it was going well. A lot of people watched the videos that I put out, because the women in my videos wasn't video vixens. They wasn't already in shape with big fat asses and, you know what I mean, you know, shapely and all of that. They wasn't that. They was women who needed to work on themselves, and so was I. I wasn't a woman, I'm a man, you know what I mean? I'm a man, you know what I mean? I'm a man, I talk like a man, I hang around with men. We do man things and talk about man shit, you know what I mean? We get with women because that's what a man does. Anyway. People told me that, look, yo, oh, you would get a lot more people to come, you know, work out with y'all if you didn't put out those videos. And I was like, damn. So showing what we're doing to help ourselves is actually turning people away. And it was like, yeah, because people don't want themselves to be filmed. They only want themselves to be filmed while they're already healthy. And I was like, oh, you mean like the health club commercials? I'm like, yeah. When you see a Planet Fitness commercial, or when you see a LA Fitness commercial, Holiday Spa, Bally's back in the day, you see a bunch of models, a bunch of people who already look like they are the after picture. You didn't see any before pictures on those commercials. Yeah, you can look like this. You can do, yeah. They were only showing you what the results may be. I was showing you the cause and how we're working on it. And my mentality was, well, if you see that these women don't mind being filmed, don't mind, you know, showing us that, showing the world that we're willing to try, why wouldn't you want to do it too? That should be inspirational. And on the low, it was inspirational for a lot of people. But for the majority of people, they was like, nah, I ain't, that's cool for them, but I ain't trying to do that shit. Better put that fucking camera away. You put the camera away, and I'll do it. And I didn't put the camera away. Every week, I put up those videos of us getting it in. When we worked out outside, People used to drive by. We would be right in that little part out there. For my Philly people, y'all know what I'm talking about. Maybe. Off Lincoln Drive, there's a little park, Lincoln Drive and Wissahickon Avenue. And people would stop by, honk, you know what I'm saying, yell out the window, hey, yeah, y'all do y'all thing. Because they saw us working on ourselves. We're out there trying to be better. We're out there trying to get it. You know, we can't be the after picture if we don't become the if we don't suffer from being the before picture first. And we don't need to be the media's portrayal of what the after is supposed to look like. We were going for looks and health. Health and looks. Whatever order that you want to put it in, because when you're healthy, it's hard not to look good. And it's almost impossible, honestly. And when you are looking good, it's hard not to feel healthy. So organically, people were saying how good they felt about us and giving us a lot of direct support while we were doing it. And the background, they're like, nah, I ain't going out there. And somehow back as I ain't trying to fuck with that shit. So from the lesson that I learned from that was, make sure that you, when you see somebody trying to do better for themselves, step in there and offer any type of advice or assistance that you can, because they need it. They need it. But it's a great thing that they had the balls to work on themselves and to chronicle it and make it public, you know? Because, listen, I think it's inspirational and I think it's sexy. And I think it's extremely attractive when I see somebody say, you know what, I have some things I need to work on, and I'm going to go ahead and work on them. Now, I ain't talking about all that bullshit. Like, you know what I mean? Listen, y'all already know how I feel about cosmetic surgery, so I'm not going to co-sign no, you know, getting your titties reduced or, you know, getting ass shots or none of that going under the nice shit. Don't look for me to support that. You know, I mean, people, there are plenty of overweight people out here. Everybody damn near is overweight if you go by the BMI, the body mass index. Just about nobody's safe on that shit unless you're sick. Anyway, but when it's organic, I don't think you can lose. If you're willing to get your ass up, sweat a little bit, make a schedule, you know, plan your thing out, work your plan your work, plan your work, work your plan. I don't see what's better than that, but that's definitely working on yourself. So when I see it, I'm inspired, and I want to get in there. I want to get in there. We'll tell somebody about it, you know? So if y'all really think about it, what better product can you find to push, to promote than yourself? What would you rather sell? Would you rather sell Herbalife or would you rather sell yourself? I ain't saying, you know, be a whore, nothing like that. But, you know, of course we know that's the world's oldest profession for a good reason. I mean, if the ass is really all of that, I mean, what can I say? What can I say? Queen Matu Mayini, Monica Davis. What's going on, Queen Monica? Good to see me some of you. Thanks for coming through. Appreciate it. Let me see what y'all talking about. TK Wright says, cars are unhealthy. Cars speak to this sedentary lifestyle most of us have settled into. It's true. And sometimes we don't recognize that until we are reminded. We got to get reminded. So this is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. I'm your host, Sun 752, and we are talking about what working on yourself really means. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. All right. Ansel Jones says, not getting mad when you tell someone you have an idea, then they put their name on it. It took years for me to achieve that goal. That's one of the reasons. Okay. But that's a form of blocking your blessings, so I can understand that. Yeah, If you around a bunch of copycats, emulators, simulators, and biters, yeah. But is that really working on yourself, though? Is that working on yourself, though, Ansel? Because you can be working on a project or a product, but we're talking about working on yourself. Like, you're trying to be a better self. Like, you get divorced, and it was you know the divorce is the culmination. It's the completion of a relationship that was already fraught with toxicity. Now, when you decide to work on yourself after a situation like that, where you may feel like my marriage failed, and maybe you feel like you played a part in assisting that marriage to fail, whether you acknowledge it directly or not, you may see where you went wrong in that situation. Well, then I don't see why it would be wrong to work on yourself with that. But that may take a lot of self-reflection and honestly being honest with yourself that a lot of people struggle with. But that might be one of the things that you work on yourself with privately. Like, yeah, even though I didn't get caught, I was cheating. And because my energy was put in other areas besides into my marriage, I didn't give my marriage enough chances. I didn't give it the green light that a marriage deserved. And I'm going to work on myself if I should ever get married again. And definitely when I get into another relationship, I'm going to do better. I'm not going to split my energies that way, to whereas I'm not contributing as much as I should contribute. Because you may really feel bad about it. Like, you know what? My wife wasn't that bad. It really wasn't all her fault, but I did blame her, and I need to work on myself because of that. Or even if you do feel like it was somebody else's fault, you know, you may feel like you contributed to them doing you dirty because of your low self-esteem. So you may feel like, I got to work on myself to get my steam up. I got to love myself a little more. I got to take care of my business. I got to show up some things right now. And I'm going to do better. Yes, I am. Word. I'm going to be the best thing you ever heard. I'm live and you going to see it. Yo, yes, way it's going to be. So be it. Word. Okay. TK Wright says, I'm not a current or previous drug user, but I have people close to me who were. They don't like anyone to know that they are working on their mental state. And you know, that's funny. You know what? Yo, Carrie, I can definitely relate to that. Because if you don't go to a rehab and you just stop using, yeah, you probably will keep that secret. I did. When I stopped drinking, I told y'all I didn't want anybody to know. I was just going to show y'all because I wasn't sure if I was going to stop. I wasn't sure. I know that I stopped wanting to. I stopped wanting to drink, but I didn't know. I didn't know if the feeling was going to hit me again today and I was going to just want to drink casually or whatever, or get drunk again. I didn't know if I was finished. So it was at least 6 months, 6 months to a whole year before I announced to the world that I wasn't drinking no more. When I didn't say nothing on social media or anything until my full first year, I told people offline because they could see it. I still went to parties and functions and gatherings and shit like that. It'd be like, yo, what you drinking? Be like, yo, just give me a ginger ale or something. You know what I mean? Give me a little orange juice. You know, give me a screwdriver. Hold the screw. What do you mean hold the screw? Like, don't put no vodka in it. Like, you want something else in it? Like rum? No. Just give me the orange juice. You got a bigger glass than that? You know. So I can understand. I can understand being leery of telling somebody that you don't use anymore because you're not sure if you're strong enough to keep going and you don't want to be looked at in that relapse way. Now, if you're still worried about people painting you or portraying you or looking at you as a user, then that probably means that you did not go to rehab. See, that's one of the things that people who abstain from alcohol and drugs do not get. They don't get the counseling. They don't get the attention. They don't get the group support of feeling good about what you're doing. They don't get anybody cheering for them like, yo, how long have you been clean? Currently I have 72 hours clean. Yeah. Yeah. You don't get that. You don't get that when you stop on your own. And that's why a lot of people don't stop. They want to stop, but they have stopped for themselves and they stop because they want to get better, but they have not gotten the techniques down and they haven't been able to employ the support that people need. I mean, when you are in an addictive state, you're not just addicted to the alcohol or the drugs. You have an addictive personality. So there are other things that you show addiction to that you may not have known about or have acknowledged or it has not been shown to you. But yeah, that's why, you know, when I see somebody hiding the fact that they're getting clean, yeah, I pretty much know like, oh, okay. Yeah, they ain't go to rehab. Because in rehab, they won't even allow that. They make you go out there and purge yourself. They make you go out and admit that you are a drug addict or a drinker. You know, they make you go and apologize to people for the things that you've stolen, for the horrible ways that you've treated them and the way that you've acted and conducted yourself. They make you apologize for your behavior. They make you acknowledge that you sucked dick in alleyways for years of the same sex. Yeah. Yeah. So there you're not going to be a down low homosexual if you are in rehab. No. No, the same way you've been hiding the fact that you are gay is the same way that you've been hiding the fact that you are addicted. You're going to have to let both of them go. I'm not saying that you're going to have to stop being gay. You're going to have to reveal that you're gay. The same way you're going to have to reveal that you are working on yourself trying to get rid of your addiction. So this working on yourself thing, man, listen, man, it ain't the easiest thing, but it's the best thing. It's the best thing. But working on yourself obviously means different things to different people. Make sure that y'all share the show, y'all. Make sure y'all share the show. Make sure y'all hit the like button. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if y'all haven't subscribed to the channel yet. It is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Sunday morning. Yeah. So let me see what y'all talking about. Okay. Oh, I ain't finished reading. I'm Carrie Stevens. She says, because others automatically think that the self-improvement has something to do with taking drugs and the mental and emotional gateway that led to the use. Well, there's something to that. But I guess, Carrie, what I'm wondering is, why would you be ashamed in any way to be working on yourself? Why? Like, why wouldn't you want the world to know? Yeah, hell yeah, I'm working on myself. And it's high time that I did that. And I'm not going to stop. Maybe you could work on yourself too. But regardless of whether you work on yourself or he works on himself and she works on herself and they work on themselves, I'm working on me. I don't like what's going on with me. I don't like it. It's not fun. I haven't had fun in a while. I haven't laughed in a while. I haven't felt good about myself in a while, and I'm going to fix it. Now, there are many techniques that people employ in order to work on themselves. Some people work on themselves proactively, and some people work on themselves reactively. Reactively is like I was talking about, after a divorce, after a breakup, after a humiliating experience, after dating, being out there on a dating scene has not wielded you successful results, after a botched pregnancy or an abortion, you know, things like that. Now, some people turn to abstinence and celibacy as a form of working on themselves. For some people, they feel like that's the way to do it. Maybe they feel like they have relied on their sexuality and it has gotten them into trouble, and they want to get out of that trouble. They want to get out of that trouble. So they say, nah, I'm putting the coochie away. Zip that, zip. Put the box away. Can't get in the box. I see that we have a caller on the line. Caller with the last number is 4828. Excuse me. Welcome to the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Thank you for holding. What's on your mind this morning?
Good morning. How are you? How's everybody? To answer your question, I don't think that there's anything wrong with people who support you knowing that you're working on yourself.
Okay.
The problem is that sometimes when you're working on yourself, you don't need the input of others because everybody's not your cheerleader. So sometimes you might have to keep it to yourself as you sort through what it is that brought you there in the first place. So it's not about being ashamed for people to know. It's like, I'm still trying to sort this all out before you allow somebody else in that space, especially if you've used drugs. At least that's my opinion.
I can understand that. But that's why I brought up the whole thing about the rehab thing. Because like I said, when you go to a rehab, you're not allowed to keep your recovery a secret. Not allowed. Like, they will kick you out. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. You know, when you talk about working on yourself, like, taking into consideration what you just said, you may not want other people to know because they may try to get in the way or whatever, but at the same time, how do you know that the opposite effect won't happen? How do you know that somebody has been withholding support for you because they have seen your shortcomings and they really have just been dissing you because they thought that you were just, your ego was blown out of control or maybe they felt like you were overconfident. You know, have you taken into consideration that you may be blocking your own blessings by not opening it up more?
That may be the case, but when it comes to addiction, and so like my comment was about addiction, when it comes to addiction, there's a codependency there. Most times when somebody has an addiction. And so there's no way to really tell whether or not, like, who is going to be that person that you just described and who's going to say, oh, wait a minute. Well, Omar is trying not to drink. I don't know if I like that so much. I much prefer drunk Omar than sober Omar. So when they mm-hmm. find out that you're trying to better yourself, you know, they stay trying to push a drink in front of you. You mm-hmm. There's no way to really know that. And especially in the beginning of you, quote unquote, bettering yourself and, you know, that's not really something you want to subject yourself to. So you might have to keep it on the low. Because you don't know who your friends are, your enemies are, your frenemies are.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me...
sometimes it makes other people look better to see you be that person on drugs or that alcoholic. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily want you to do better because that makes them look worse.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have to ask ourselves, why would you looking bad make them look better? Like, there's such a big world out here. Why would it come down to you making them look better?
Well, it could be a sibling situation.
Okay. There's still a big world out here.
Yeah, well, it is, but that big world is very small when you're going through something. And so, you know,
okay,
it would definitely have an effect. I'm not saying that, you know, it's right. We're just talking about the possibilities.
Yeah, but that's why I want to open it up a little bit because one of the things about this working on yourself thing is the title of the show is what we really mean by working on yourself, what working on yourself really means, right? So, if we're talking about working on ourselves, we have to ask ourselves as we're working on ourselves, I would think, are we working on ourselves for ourselves, which means that we're not really working on ourselves. We're working on somebody, we're working on another situation through ourselves. You know, because I'm thinking, if we're really working on ourselves, then I'm thinking that we have to have had a conversation with ourselves. Like, all right, this is where I am, and this is what I've done, and this is what has happened to me, and this is where I want to be, and this is where I want to go, and this is what I need to do in order to get there. Like, why would the limitation of your environmental factors come into existence when you're talking about working on yourselves? Like, okay, even if, okay, when it comes to addiction, you're going to affect so many different people through your addictive state when you are in your addiction. You may think that, well, I'm only really affecting my friends and a little bit of my coworkers, but not even really, because they didn't know I was high. They didn't know I was getting high. You know, you think they didn't know. Or, you know, you may think, like, well, I'm doing this for my mom because she's sick, and I want to make sure that if she sees me clean before anything happens to her, God forbid, or whatever. You know, you can't keep those limitations in mind and say that you're working on yourself. You know what I'm saying? You have to work on yourself for you. You have to really want you to be better. You have to be looking for a more effective shield against things that make you feel bad. You have to be working on that guard, that security. So it can't just be like, well, I'm the oldest in my family, and I'm also the only one that's addicted to drugs, so I gotta live up to being the oldest sibling. That's because I don't think that that's going to be reinforcing enough to keep you from getting high. That's going to make you just, you know, start getting high on the low again. You know what I mean? Like, as long as they don't see it, like, maybe I can get clean. I can actually discipline myself to get clean for like a week, and then I'll just start getting high on the weekends or whatever. Like, you're either ready to be the new you that you're working on, or you're not. Like, when we talk about working on ourselves, we're talking about building ourselves. So where are you building yourself towards? I mean, with addiction, like I said, I didn't want anybody to know that I stopped drinking, because I didn't know if I was – I didn't know if I had stopped. I know that I wasn't, but 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, like, yeah, still no drinking. 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, still, but I ain't saying shit. After a year, I was sure. Like, yeah, I've done this, and I'm more than willing to keep going farther. Now, my example can't be everybody's example, because other people's level of addiction has been much more severe than mine. And I don't have a technique that I can give to, that I can advise somebody on or coach somebody on in order to stop drinking. A lot of it was by luck, but there was a lot of mentality in it. So while I was working on myself by not drinking, and there were other things that I had to stop doing. Like, I don't drink coffee anymore because I don't drink. And because I was using the coffee as another way to get high. I'm drinking a whole pot of black-ass coffee. Straight black. No sugar, no... You know what I mean? So I'm still flying. But it ain't alcohol. And once I saw myself doing that, like, wait a minute. Nah, dude. You don't need that caffeine. You don't need that. Like, you're winning now. Go ahead and finish. Go ahead and cross that finish line and get your prize. Go ahead and do it. But it stopped being about what other people saw me as, or what they wanted, or what they portrayed me to be, or what they stereotyped me as. Because when I prayed to God for me to stop drinking, I didn't pray so that people would look at me better. I didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted it for me. So I had to focus on it. Like, I don't want to need a drink. I don't want that. It ain't cool. I knew it wasn't cool. I didn't try to rationalize it. Like, everybody does this. Ain't nothing wrong. You know, I've been through all that shit. I work hard all weekend. Ain't nothing wrong me having a drink on the weekend. Yeah. And I guess there ain't nothing wrong with all of the other shit that came after it. Some people can control their drinking or what happens as a result of them drinking. I could not. I thought I could. I swore I could. But the results said everything different. 3 fucking DUIs. That's the story. I can't hide that. I can't hide that. Three DUIs doesn't say that I got drunk every day. It doesn't say that I only drank on the weekends. It doesn't say I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. It says conviction 3 fucking times. That's what it says. I got to hold that. So when I'm working on myself, I had to acknowledge that. Like, well, you know, when I got caught, that was a sobriety checkpoint, and it wasn't really, I wasn't even drinking like that, and, you know, I ain't violating no traffic laws. It was just 3 DUI arrests, 3 convictions. Well, 2. Yeah, 2. Yeah. 2 and 1, and another one.
But, yeah, possible.
It was a bad hand. You know what I mean? Ain't nobody want those books. But it taught me something. It taught me something. You know, like, I could have taken a different approach and looked at it like, well, anybody can do it. If I did it, anybody can do it. No, I couldn't do it like that. You know, it wasn't about anybody else being able to do it, because everybody wasn't in my state. Everybody, plenty of alcoholics don't have any DUIs. I did. But I had to reconcile with myself. Like, well, what do you really want? Is this what you want? Is this what you want? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Same kind of conversation that I had to have with myself when I decided to go in the show business. Well, listen, man, you see a lot of people out there, you know, cast history be coming out. If you ever raped a woman, was smacked on her ass and she wasn't cool with it, it's gonna come out. You know, if you've ever had hold on, let me get this. I think we buffering over here on YouTube. We are YouTube. We good.
You buffered for a second.
Okay, all right, we good. It gave me the buffer signal, but yeah, like if I've had any homosexual tendencies or whatever. You know, if I've ever sucked a dick or laid down with a man, whatever, it's gonna come out. If the farther you get, the greater the likelihood that you know, stuff like that is going to come out. So I was like, all right, I'm clean. I'm clean on all of that shit. I don't mess around with little kids or young girls or you know, no gay shit, none of that bullshit. I'm like, yeah, but you got this little drinking thing. But I wasn't worried about that. You understand what I'm saying? Wasn't worried yeah. about that. Like, yeah, I can get past that. I mean, you know, it ain't a big thing. Yeah. But that became the fucking problem. But I'm only saying this to say that I prepared myself for the fallout. You know, if you're going to prepare yourself for success, you also have to prepare yourself for failure. And if you're not doing that, you're not really working on yourself. You're not working on yourself the way that you really need to work on yourself. You have to consider all possibilities, just like a lawyer has to consider what the other side is going to say. The defendant has to consider what the plaintiff is going to say. The plaintiff has to consider what the defendant is going to say. You know, to the contrary, nobody's just going to shut somebody up like they do on TV and the movies. It doesn't work that way. So mm-hmm. working on yourself is a deep, deep concept, but it's hard. I think that it's harder to work on yourself when you don't ask for support. You know, when you try to sneak up on motherfuckers with a brand new you, that's like cats getting a makeover. You know what I'm saying? You know, like on Maury's show, they put these chicks that used to be nerds, they put them in a short ass skirt where they can't even sit down without crossing their legs. And, you know what I mean? They have them in some with a bunch of makeup.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so, I mean, I agree with you. Support is very, very important as you're working on yourself. And my personal experience, I've never been a drug user. So anything I had to say regarding drug use had to do with both my parents having been drug mm-hmm. users at one point in their lives. But I noticed, for me personally, once I was no longer with my ex-husband, you know, I had to self-assess and say, well, what part did you play in it? Whether no matter how small, what part did I play in it? And I, as I was self-assessing and working on myself, I noticed people around me that I thought had been supportive becoming resentful of my self-assessment and me to meet my goal to better myself mentally and emotionally. And it was so confusing to me because I was like, well, if you love me and I, you know, like I love you, and wouldn't you want me to be better? Wouldn't you want me to sort through, you know, certain issues in a healthier way? It baffled me. It baffled me. You know, some of those people I don't talk to. Others, we had a very candid conversation, and believe it or not, they actually admitted, well, you know, it's not that I didn't really support you. I was kind of jealous because I want to get to that place as well. Oh, you know, and so now, like you said earlier, you know, you really don't always know who you're inspiring or who you're getting to think about certain things. So it's like, okay, well, this is what I did. This is how I got here. So those people who wanted it, we worked on ourselves together. You know, we were each other's cheerleaders, and those other people, mm-hmm. they can go, well, I'm not going to say it on a Sunday, but they can go do whatever they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Does that involve having sex with themselves?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, absolutely. and having something in their mouths, but I'm not one to just stick around. If you're not going to be supportive, you know, then there's really no point in us engaging. There's no fake stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Well, let me ask you this: if you have any experience with this, do you know of an example where someone worked on themselves and failed? What can stop a person? What can make a person work on themselves and give up or or not be successful at working on themselves? How would that work? Can you speak on that?
Okay. So, yes, I have seen it. Yes, I have done it. Where I was working on myself, and the person who, same ex-husband, you know, we had broken up before we broken up, and everything was getting better in my life, just everything on all levels. And then he saw that and jumped in like, this is great. I think, you know, I see what you're doing, and I think it's awesome. And he was oh so supportive. And then I was like, oh, wow, maybe he's been working on himself too. And it was just the way for him to get back in. And then things got worse. So I never really reached the pinnacle of what, you know, because I let that person who has a destructive personality back into my life. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like having an addiction, I imagine. I mean, I never, like I said, I never used drugs ever. So, I don't really know. But I imagine it to be that way. And then if you talk to some drug users, they will tell you that they have tried and failed many times.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's interesting that you use those examples because, you know, like, I know for me personally, I wouldn't look at either one of those examples as a failure. I would look at it. And I'll tell you why. The reason I wouldn't look at either of those examples as a failure is because I don't think that working on yourself successfully means completion, because I don't think that you're ever complete with working on yourself. I think it's a journey. I think it continues until you close your eyes for the last time. I think that it's a continuing thing that you have to involve yourself in order to actively involve yourself in until you start to see the magic of you getting better. You understand what I mean?
So no, like, I do. And I agree with you, but in the moment, it feels like a failure. It feels like a setback.
Yeah.
It's more of a setback. Even you can learn, you know, regardless of whether it's good or bad, you still have something to learn from it. But mm-hmm. While you're going through it, it feels like, oh, I failed myself.
Mm-hmm. You know what I would say? You know what I would say in a situation like that? Like, if I put a quarter tank of gas in my car, it's going to run. I don't have to fill it up for it to run. You understand what I'm saying?
So, yeah, you're going to get somewhere with it. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Depending on the car, I might get a couple of hundred miles. You know what I'm saying?
If I drive a Prius, I'm getting far. So
don't nobody want it. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Don't make fun of my Prius.
I'm just playing with you. I don't get it. All right. Sure. Like in a classroom, if you don't complete your homework, or if you did your homework but you didn't turn it in, you didn't do your homework. But in areas of trying to improve yourself, trying to improve your emotional state, trying to better yourself as a person, I don't think that you'll ever get to the ending. But whatever you do to work on yourself, it's still there. So mm-hmm. although you may have gotten sidetracked, or you may have backslid, or relapsed in the case of somebody taking drugs, you still learn lessons. So when you try again, you'll have more information and a better chance to succeed that next time. You understand what I'm saying? So
yeah,
you know,
I understand that.
Yeah. So in the immediate sense, you may be looking at it like, yo, I tried and I failed. But no, it's not. I don't think that it's a failure until you decide I'm not trying again. That sounds like a failure to me. You know, it'd be like if you were job searching and you weren't finding any job. Like, you know, you can't just stop, you know, looking for a job. You know what I mean? Of some sort, you got to still have to try to get some kind of income. So you might not get the job that you want, but you still keep looking. And maybe you take a job that you didn't that wasn't your first choice, but you still kept looking. You still went online. You still filled out applications. You still, updated your resume and things like that. So you're still in the hunt. And I think that we need to sometimes change our definition of what success is.
Mm-hmm.
And take some time out to understand the journey. The journey is the biggest part. I know it's hard for us to look at it that way, but it keeps manifesting itself. It's a journey. It's not the end. And as human beings, we do. We try to look for the end. I had a conversation the other day with a good friend of mine, and we was talking about religion and why so many people of different religions don't get along and why they disagree and blah, 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 and why church people be so judgmental. And one thing we were saying is that, so I was saying, we look for a religion that is going to be that's going to give us all of our answers to the point where we don't have to ask any more questions. And that's not really realistic. You know what I'm saying? It's not realistic, but we want to get in that comfortable space that I was talking about earlier. We want to get in that comfortable space that I did it. You know, I mean, we talk about it in monotheism. Well, there's only one God. So with only one God, we're saying to ourselves subliminally and sometimes outright, there's only one religion, one God, one religion. Everybody else is wrong. All of them, they're wrong. That's not realistic. There's nothing in our world that supports that type of thinking. Nothing. But we figure because we're dealing with the divine, in this case, yep, one God, one religion. So if I find this thing that fits me to a T like a well-tailored suit, I'ma just get comfortable right here. I don't want to hear none of that Muslim shit. I don't want to hear none of that Hebrew shit. I don't want to hear none of that Jew shit. I don't want to hear none of that Buddhism shit. I don't want to hear none of that spirituality shit. I don't want to hear nothing. Jesus, that's how we doing it. And we want to get to that point. We want to get to the point where we are always right. And we just may not be able to achieve that. But it doesn't make us a failure. It makes us know, it should make us know that we just have to keep trying. We have to learn a little bit more. We have to go a little bit farther than we had gone before. You know what I mean? And it's a tough thing. We don't want to see it that way, but it is tough. But yeah, working on yourself, whatever work you put in, it still applies. And you will call it back up. Whatever worked for you before, you're going to call it back up, or should I say recall it when you get in a similar situation. So why not keep that in our minds during that time? And that's why support is important. When we start talking about working on ourselves, you don't necessarily need a hype man, but you need somebody to say, yeah, I think that sounds right. You're going in the right direction. That's good shit. Let me know if you need anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, support isn't always about the hype, being a hype man. Sometimes right. It's just somebody there who's going to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it says somebody who's going to be there and be honest with you, whether you like what they're saying or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's true because, enabling a person or just always agreeing with everything that they say, having a yes man on your side will be good for a narcissistic person, but in all reality, it's not going to pass the smell test. Now, I want to go back to if you can speak on this, because I don't know, you might not have no time. You got a couple of minutes, or you got to go? You got to go?
I don't know. Let me see. Hold on. 3, 7. Yeah, go ahead. You can.
Okay.
I got some time.
A lot of women, and, you know, because you're a woman, I'm going to ask you this. So there's no pressure here, but you're just going to have to speak for every woman on earth. Now, when a lot of women decide to become celibate or abstain from sex, and they consider that to be working on themselves. In my mind, I'm thinking that they are mistakenly blaming sex or love for them not feeling good about themselves or about situations that they're in. But for many women, they say that it's a cleansing thing and it's mm-hmm. a good thing to do. I don't really I don't think so.
Okay.
But I like to hear what you have to say about that.
Okay. So I can't speak on it for all women across the world.
No, I said that you don't have to do that. Then we agreed.
Oh, okay. We don't? Okay. Okay.
We're going to.
That's fine. I appreciate that. but I have been celibate before several times in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And, I personally don't see a problem with it. For me, it was definitely a cleansing journey for me. While I don't use drugs, and for many years I did not drink at all, sex is very enjoyable for me, and I found it to be a distraction from the things at that point in my life that I was trying to do. And so I decided to abstain from it so that I can focus on what I wanted to do solely. And that was traveling the world, which I did. Then when I came, did everything I thought I wanted to do at the time, I came back and did, fulfilled whatever I needed to fulfill. But for me, it wasn't about being depressed. It wasn't about, not feeling good about myself. It was like, I really enjoy this. And it's like if you know that eating candy is going to make you fat. Eating too many sweets, too many desserts is going to make you fat. But you want to have a nice body.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that you're not going to be able to eat the candy in moderation. You know how you feel about sweets. You know how you feel about desserts. So I was not willing to indulge in it. It was like, what do you want more? Do you want this or do you want that? Well, I can wait for the nut. The nut will be there. So I'll come back to you after I finish doing this thing right here. That's for me.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen other women who decided to be celibate because their engagement in sex was a very emotional one. And so that led them to be intimate with people who didn't even deserve that level of intimacy with them. Sex for them was about an emotional connection, but it turned out that they were only getting that connection. The connection was only coming from one side. And mm-hmm. so they found themselves in constant heartbreak. And they thought, let me just stop having sex. They weren't thinking, let me get my mind right about what relationships really should be. Let me get my mind right about, how I should get to the point where I really, the relationship, the level of relationship that I really want and who I should have it with. At least not at first. Some of them were able to sort through all that and gain that knowledge through the celibacy because they did not have the distraction of being in love with somebody who wasn't in love with them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's their journey. That's somebody who went through that in that way would have to speak more on it. I was on the outside looking in. I can only talk about it from celibacy from my angle.
That's fair. So. Okay, I think you may have spoken for about maybe, all right, I'm going to be generous, like 30% of women around the world. But the other 70%, I've known women that have gone for years, even decades, without having sex.
God bless them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
God bless them.
Yeah, I'm wondering, like, is that with them working on themselves? Like, could that be considered working on yourself? Like, because to me, it sounds like you're just cutting out either an enjoyable part of your life that you hold accountable for all for your depression or whatever, or mm-hmm. you're cutting out a part of your life that was supposed to be enjoyable, but that really caused all of the problems.
Right. So I know two people like that. One that I'm close to and one is a friend of a friend. Both of them were very jaded. They had gotten their heart broken and decided, I'm not going to engage. They refused to engage in sexual, any level of sexual activity.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
hmm.
because of the failed relationship. You know, one person had been a mistress. The guy promised, you know, to leave. Of course, but he didn't leave. And she felt jaded, and she was just like, you know what, if I can't have him, I don't want anybody. I'm done. And she meant it.
Okay.
She meant it. I was like, wow.
So does that mean, like, the dick was that good?
I don't ever want any dick that's good.
I'm saying.
No thanks.
Because, you know, not saying that you won't have the greatest love anymore is one thing, but you say, well, look, I ain't having sex no more. If I can't have him, I'm thinking like, dang, he definitely found the spot.
I guess he did.
No.
Did he really? I mean, because if he really found the spot, wouldn't she just say, oh, well, I'm still going to do it?
Well, so many women say that their physical part of their lives is so connected to their emotional part that maybe they can't fathom having one over the other. And I don't know, you know, like, you described it as a nut. For some women, I guess the nut is everything. The nut is the heart. And I'm like, I don't know. But you know, I do show concern when it comes to that, because I'm thinking like, you know, sex is supposed to be an enjoyable thing. But, you know, we talk about working on ourselves. There can be so many other factors that go into having sex that can influence us in a negative way about what sex is supposed to be intended for in a healthy way. Such things such as religion. You know, if you grew up in a practicing religion where they told you that sex before marriage is bad, 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 and having sex a lot of times in a marriage is bad, bad, bad. You know, sort of like the Catholic thing. You know, sex is supposed to be used for reproduction only. And, you know, so if you involved yourself in a religion, or if you were raised in a religion where there were strong barriers towards sex, which a lot of people seem to break, you know, like, look, God going to have to forgive me. Y'all said that he's merciful, right? All right, we're going to see. You know what I mean? But some people... Yeah. Allow that to creep into their minds when things don't go their way. You know, when things go your way, everybody is working on themselves. When it's successful, when things are successful, it's easy to keep going on that path. But sometimes, even when things are successful, that take a while to manifest itself. Like, for example, you know how, like, you work out. Most people I know who started an exercise regimen were starting to see results, and they, you know, with start to see results. They were feeling good. They were looking good, looking better and everything like that. They were on their way. And somewhere along the line, they missed a workout here. They missed a workout there. And next thing you know, they starting it all over next year. You know what I'm saying? So they might have made it all the way up to the summertime. Like, I made it to June. But from then, from June all the way to December, it's like, yo, I fell off. You know what I'm saying? So I only use that as an example to say that even when we are successful in some things, if we see that we have to put in a lot of work and discipline into becoming successful, sometimes it can be a little discouraging. Like, listen, man, I ain't got time to be successful. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it can be daunting. It can feel daunting. I want to mention something. So Shamira Martin in the gallery says that it has nothing to do with sex. A distraction is the correct word, is what she says. You can't try and heal and be distracted at the same time. It's not about sex, but your mental healing and mental or emotional healing. I'm just going to add the emotional part because I do agree with that. But like you, once you see that it's been decades, what does that say about your mental and emotional healing?
It's working on itself.
Yeah, well, I want to ask Shamira that. Like, once it's been, 20 years, 25 years, what does that say about your mental and emotional healing?
Listen, first of all, I don't care what nobody say. You can fuck and heal. But
I agree.
You can.
I agree with it.
any health practitioner will tell you that you're going to need to fuck in order to heal. But when you can't, like, I brought up the whole religion thing because it shows that environmental and conditioning factors can separate your ability to be able to have one thing without the other. You know what I mean? Like, listen, I love Reese cups, but I can enjoy peanut butter by itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I can enjoy chocolate by itself. Yes, they are two great tastes that go great together. Two good tastes that go great together. But you don't have to have one in order to have the other. You may struggle to enjoy sex in a healthy way because it maybe sex for you involves a bit of recklessness because of your sexual appetite or because of your brand of sexuality. So I'm sorry.
I said stop judging me.
Yeah, you wild. But what I'm saying is, I'm glad you said that because that's true. You know, like there's so many things. Like if being open sexually to somebody means not using any forms of birth control or having to worry about STDs or anything like that, then it may be harder for you to have sex in a healthy way. But health is what we're striving for. And when we talk about working on ourselves, we are talking about getting closer and closer to becoming healthier and healthier. That's the goal. We want to be healthy. If y'all don't get anything out of this show and other shows that I've done, one thing that I want to impress upon y'all that cannot be overstated is that you can't be healthy and unsafe at the same time. You can't. It's impossible. It's like you can't be healthy and sick at the same time. You know, people be like, well, dude a little bit crazy, but physically, they hear a little crazy or she a little crazy. They're a little throwed off, but they healthy as a horse. No, they're not. You can't separate the mental, emotional from the physical. You can't do that. You have to have that balance. So you can't be overweight and be healthy. Yeah, but I'm saying they don't have no health problems. Like, just because you're not sick does not mean that you are healthy. But if you are healthy, it does mean that you are not sick. Period.
Well, hold on. What about somebody who's overweight, whose blood glucose levels are extraordinary? They don't have high blood pressure. They don't have any of those things. They will tell you, yeah, it's that they're healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll tell you.
You can't be overweight.
Because they don't understand
you overweight and be healthy.
It's like saying, okay, you live your life as a criminal, but you're not locked up. You haven't been arrested yet. Are you good? You good with that? You know, because you're at risk. When you are seriously overweight, you are at risk. Yeah.
Right.
There are some people who can walk a tightrope, and there's some people who can't. But the person that can walk the tightrope is susceptible to injury if they fall off that motherfucker, just like the person who can't do it at all. So the journey and the working on yourself is working towards complete 360 degree health. You may never get there, but that's why it's a journey. You try to get as healthy as possible on your way. So you're going to pick up things along the way. Okay, on my way to becoming healthy, I picked up some knowledge. I picked up some wisdom. I picked up some understanding. I picked up some good people over here. I picked up some wickedness. I picked up some evil. I picked up some kindness. I picked up some different things. You collect these things, and you're never going to really go wrong learning as much as you can. But you're going to have to understand that this is not you're not going to be able to live your life in a linear fashion and think that there aren't going to be problems. This is an open world. Whether you accept that or not, like it or not, it doesn't really matter. It's open. And there are going to be things coming at you. But that's just going to build on your knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. It's going to help you. It's going to help you to be able to fit in different pegs that you were unable to fit in before, which is a good thing. But the more you learn, the more you will start to accept. And I don't mean acceptance in that you will adapt to it, you will go towards it, but you will understand that, hey, that's their thing. That's, you know, when in Rome, that's what they do. But I ain't going to Rome. But yo, y'all Romans, y'all do y'all thing over there. You know what I'm saying? We going to chill over here, you know? You don't have to. I'm going to say it again. We look for the one answer. We look for the solution that's going to take us over the top and stop us from having to study anymore. We're looking for the thing that will stop all of the questions from coming in. We're actually subliminally looking for a way to not have to think about it anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's like when we talk about winning the lottery and people be talking about, I pay off all my bills. Like, that don't mean that you don't get more bills. But we don't think that way because we're conditioned to think that as long as we take away the financial struggles that we all have, then we can concentrate. We can beat anything else. Our problem is money. No, it's not. If your problem was money, you would not know where your meal is coming from every day. You would not have a roof over your head. You would not have the options of whether to partially pay the light bill or to get a pair of sneakers. You don't have those kind of problems. You understand what I mean? So
yes.
So, but it's all relative to our condition. You know what I mean? Because right now, people got their stimulus money. Cash is running. Hey, right now, the good part about this whole thing is right now, because people feel like they have a couple of dollars, now they're going to have to get in touch with the real problems that they have that don't involve money. Just for a hot minute, they're going to get a chance to see what it's like to remember that they're human. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, that stimulus money, that stimulus money ain't gonna stop your third grader from flunking third grade. Ain't gonna stop it. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. So,
the problem is either they have a learning disability or you have not put in the work to ensure that your third grader has the skills to be able to pass to the fourth grade. And they've been home all this time. You can't, ain't too many people out there you can blame. It's fucked up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, there's a different type of reality going on. But, we all have to work on ourselves. But working on myself is going to mean one thing. You working on yourself is going to mean another thing. And everyone else working on themselves is going to mean different things to them. But we can all help each other. You know, we're very little of us, if any of us, are going to be successful trying to work on ourselves in a vacuum. If you're not afraid, to succeed, or if you tell yourself you're not afraid to succeed, then you also have to consider that you're going to have to learn how to not be afraid to fail. But failure is not permanent, just like success is not. You know, neither one of them are permanent. You keep chipping away at them. Probably all of us have worked on a project that was supposed to look one way, and when we started working on it, we changed direction. Like, yo, I was just going to make it look like this, but as I started working on it, I was like, oh, no, it'd be better this way, because if I did it the other way, then I would have had to sacrifice this and blah, blah, blah. And it turns out I had some Larry Season salt over here. I put that shit on, and the lava came out. You know? You know, with some old, you sank my battleship. Like, I'll be goddamn. I ain't mean this. But yeah, I mean, those things happen. As you experience more, you learn more, you do more, and you start to incorporate more. That's working on yourself. It's not the only way of working on yourself, but you should expect to encounter these types of things as you try to get this thing together, get on your proper footing. For some people, working on yourself means it's a spiritual thing. You know, you're trying to get your zen right, trying to get that zen. And anybody who has tried to get their zen, no, it ain't easy to keep the zen. You're going to chase
sure
that
ain't.
Zen. You know what I mean? Your zen is only one long-ass slow line away from being wiped away. Yo, I can't be fucking zen. Yo, I'm trying to get this fucking vaccination shot. And it's my long as man, fuck this shit. Fuck zen.
You may never lie. So let me Ansel had mentioned that a lot of people in the military suffer from mental illness and they have to deal with it in their own time. You can't really pick, you know, when they want to work on it. What do you think about that when somebody from the military is trying to work on themselves?
Yeah. The first of all, I want to say that they was all crazy going in. But that's besides the point. The biggest struggle that I see with military personnel that return home is that their whole training has been centered around working on themselves by themselves. Their whole training has been about sucking it up, being a man about it. Even if you're a woman, it's all been about, no, don't complain, accept, push through, make it happen. None of it is about, listen, I have this problem, can you help me? It's not about that. It's all about becoming self-sufficient in order to make the whole team stronger. So that conditioning is hard. It's a hard thing to break away from when you get on stateside over here and you have to deal with just like we were talking about a couple of minutes ago, dealing with All right, now your problem isn't money. Your problem is actually the way that you feel. And you've been conditioned to hide the way that you feel, only deal with the way that you feel, stand up to the way that you feel, tell your feelings to fuck themselves. You've been conditioned to do that. And for however long you were in the military, you have gotten better at that. And in any other way that you have tried to deal with it, if you tried to do the opposite of what your training told you, then you would call the pussy. You would, you know, you, it wasn't a good look. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah. Can you work on yourself while hurting yourself?
By hurting yourself?
No, can you work on yourself while hurting yourself?
I think so. I think because sometimes we mistake pain for pleasure and pleasure for pain a lot. You know, I mean, we talked about drug addiction. Drug addiction is all about hurting yourself, trying to help yourself. People who are on drugs say they take the drugs because they stressed out. So that dulls the pain and makes them feel better, right? But they don't realize that they're increasing their pain. So, yeah, you can help yourself while hurting yourself. It's just that at some point you're going to hurt yourself a whole lot more. You need to seek guidance and make sure that the person guiding you understands the direction that you need to go into. And so that's counseling. That's a counseling thing. You know, you can that's why I say you can't work on yourself in a vacuum and expect to be successful. You know, seeking counseling is a terrific way to work on yourself. Don't try to do it. You've already tried to do it yourself. It's not working. And it could be not working because you don't know how. But let me say this before we go into these birthday shout-outs, and I'm going to let you finish your statement. I want to say this. Do some things that I did when I was having some issues with a depressive episode in my life. We don't have too many bookstores anymore, but you can go online. It's actually better now. You can Google depression and books that can help with that. Sometimes you have to buy the book. Sometimes you don't. You know, you can get a subscription to Kindle or audio audio file some shit. Anyway, whether you listen to the book or whether you read the book, it will be a good way and a faster way for you to be able to start to speed up the healing process for yourself. And it's excellent because you will start to get immediate techniques that will bring forth some gratification for you so you can start to get on the road to recovery and see some immediate results that will inspire you to go get some more. I'm finished. You want to finish what you were saying?
Oh no, I was just reading some of the comments in the gallery, mm-hmm. and that question about working on yourself while hurting yourself was Ansel's question. But I think you definitely answered that question for him, and for me, I was curious about that as well. Unfortunately, black people shy away from getting outside help. Sometimes we're so prideful that we won't even accept help from somebody who calls himself our friend.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're talking about going to see a psychologist, not a psychiatrist whose main job is to medicate you, but a psychologist,
mm-hmm.
We don't want to do that. It's like we think that we are less than if we have to, you know, go and seek that type of help. And quite honestly, a lot of us chuck that up to being white people shit, and it's not. Sometimes it's necessary. I think that's unfortunate because there are a lot of us running around here, multiplying something that could have been solved just by talking to someone who's able to help you sort it all out, you know? So
yeah,
I hope that more of us go out and seek that type of help a lot of jobs now are offering that as a free service.
Mm-hmm.
That my job is like an EAP program. You don't need to, you know, you just call this number, you tell them what you need, whether it's suicide, whether it's depression, or whether it's an addiction, doesn't matter. It's all, mm-hmm. you know, confidential and it's a free service. They'll give you four free counseling sessions straight out, mm-hmm. you know, and that's outside of whatever our insurance covers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I hope to see people taking advantage of this, our people, you know.
Yeah.
White people have been doing it for years. I'm talking about Black people because we need
yeah.
it. We have years and years and years of conditioning that we need to sort through on top of all the shit that we deal with from day to day.
It's a Black curse, you know, counseling or fear of people ridiculing you or looking down on you because you went and tried to work on yourself. That's a Black curse. Man, imagine
yeah.
that. White, us stereotyping white people for going to seek out psychological help. Meanwhile, on the low, we suffering like fuck, wondering
yeah.
how we going to get through another day. Yeah, it's the Black curse.
We literally say white people shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard it many times. You know what I mean?
You know, in prior years, the problem was that we didn't have the resources. We didn't have the money. We didn't have the resources in order to go get that help. So sometimes some of us wanted to get that help. We couldn't afford to do so. There's no excuse now.
Mm. Yeah. Shamira Martin says, there are people who like to give advice, but also need to heal themselves. Some people will find fault in others, but don't see their toxic ways. There isn't a person in the world that doesn't need to work on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Not a person in the world. I don't care if we are talking about a newborn baby or if we're talking about somebody who lived to be 100 years. You would not make it from the cradle to the grave in perfection. You won't even get close to perfection. You'd be lucky to score a D,
yeah,
straight late.
Yeah,
it ain't easy.
Yeah, well, I'd like to tell Shamira that I am one of those people who give out advice. Hi, Barbara. Who like to give out advice while I'm trying to heal? And guess what? That advice that I'm giving is I'm saying this is what I've already learned. I'm still working on me.
Mm-hmm.
Let me share what I've already learned.
Yeah. Shoot, y'all know me.
I don't see a problem with that.
Y'all know me. I deny that I give out advice, but I give out information. I'll show you. I'll point you in the right direction where somebody can advise you. You know, that's what I'm here to do. Now, whether you take that information or accept that information, that's all on you. But because mm-hmm. you can work on yourself in a positive way, and you can work on yourself in a negative way. It really is all on you. All right, we got to get on up out of here. I really appreciate you calling in and giving your input.
Problem.
You know what I'm saying? I will
no
dance
problem.
At your wedding.
No, you won't. But, okay.
Get married today.
Well, with that, I bid you adieu.
No, but I really do appreciate you opening it up and allow me to interview you a little bit. I really do appreciate that. And I hope everybody enjoyed that.
It was a pleasure.
All right. Well,
all right,
we got to go. All right. I'm going to do these birthday shout-outs, and then we're going to holla. All right, y'all. We have some birthday by the way, shout-out to the callers. You know what I mean? She was all that. Very informative. I hope that that she was as helpful for y'all as she was for me. And, yeah, that was a good look. All right, we have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious March 21st, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them. making them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, Amina James. Happy birthday to you, Amina James. That's what's up. And Alyssa Nicole, happy birthday to you. And a go-getter of sorts, Shelly Johnson. That's what I say, of sorts, Shelly Johnson. But she did used to support the show a lot when we was on Facebook. So shout out to you, Shelly Johnson. And Noelle Selena. Happy birthday to you, Noelle Selena. And Yaceres Gregorio Pimentel, turning 27 years old today. And Vicky Treadwell Matthews, turning 55 years old today. Deuce Nichols, a 5 and a 5. And go get a Dawn Roberts, turning 50 years old today. Half Century Club all up in your area. And last but not least, my man singer, hailing from Harrisburg, living in Philly for the last, man, he's been here for a minute. My man, Shoshine Gilmore. Tony Shoshin. Is it Shoshin? Okay. Gilmore. Good dude. Turning 49 years old today. Happy birthday to you, my brother. I want to say happy birthday to all of you and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious, glorious, glorious March 21st, anywhere out there in the world. Springtime, baby. Worldwide, internationally, and universally, all of y'all go ahead and turn up, but don't turn up too loud, just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out, rock on it, do the damn, the rock out, rock on it, do the damn, rock out, rock on it, do the damn thing, you do your thing, y'all, represent the queens and kings, you do your thing, y'all, represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait, great things happen to those who grind, and anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, first of all, I want to give a shout out to Cherry Cinderella Dana Dane, and TJ Music 4. Thanks for coming through on the Instagram side. I appreciate it. Working on yourself, as you can clearly see, hopefully. Working on yourself means different things to different people, but it does mean working. It does mean employing. It does mean making a job of it. It does mean trying to get from one place of a lower concentration to a place of a higher concentration. We are trying to improve ourselves. We're trying to be better. We are trying to feel better. We're trying to feel better about waking up in the morning and going to bed at night. We are trying to fill our days with positivity and inspiration and opportunities. And there's nothing wrong with that. Now, the way that you get to it may be different than the way that I get to it, but we all want to go in the right direction. And please don't try to work on yourself in a vacuum. Don't try to improve yourself in a vacuum. Get the team involved. And it's going to be a little tough in the beginning, but try not to be discouraged by those who don't believe that your journey is real. It's not that they're haters. It's just that they don't believe you. Maybe you have done things to make them not believe or respect your direction, your judgment, your leadership. Even if your leadership is only yourself, maybe there are some things that you have done that has made them say, nah, I'm going to wait and see. But don't be discouraged by them. Just make sure that any doubt that they had before is removed when they see you. But don't do it for them. Do it for you. If you're going to work on yourself, then work on yourself. Don't work by yourself, but work on yourself. Two heads are better than one, and three heads are better than two, if the heads are on in a good way. Don't be ashamed or afraid to let somebody know that you're trying to do better for yourself. Shit, they're trying to do better for themselves too. One thing I've learned about people hating from the sidelines is that they want to be as good as anybody else, as bad as anyone else does. They want that. Who don't want to be better? Who don't want to feel better? Who don't want to improve? Who don't? Sometimes we get so discouraged that we say, I don't really give a fuck. I-D-G-A-F. 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 But at the same time, we'll be like, yo, you did that shit. You see somebody recover from an illness, you'd be like, yo, man, bravo. That's what I'm talking about. Especially when it wasn't looking too good. And the only way that you can congratulate somebody for digging their way out of the darkness is to want to actually do that for yourself too. But you might be keeping that on a low because you don't think that you have the tools in order to do it. But you do. And you need help. You may need help with getting your shit together. But stop worrying about motherfuckers who don't want to do nothing with their lives. Do you want to do something with yours? Seriously. You get the party started. It's like a house party back in the day. Nobody want to fucking dance. All the boys on this side, all the girls on that side. Until somebody get on the dance floor and start dancing. They may not have danced all that well, but I bet you somebody else got behind them like, okay, shit, you can get away with dancing like that. I can two-step my way all the way to the party. Oh, we got some punch over here, party. Yo, play that shit. Play my shit, man. I need to play my jams. That's the reason ain't nobody dancing in this bitch. It's the same way. It's the same way. Yo, play my shit. What? Play that beat. We gonna go all the way back. Play it. Kick it. Play that beat. Play that beat. Play it. Kick it. That's what I'm talking about. Party Time Records. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all and love y'all right back to life. We will be back on tomorrow night. Yes, 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 yes. We will be back on tomorrow night. I think we won't 7 o'clock, but that's on the Daily Go Get a Mism Show. Thank y'all for supporting the Daily Go Get a Mism Show. Thank you for supporting the Urban Therapy with Show this morning. If you like this show, please share this show. Share the show even if you didn't like it. Be like, man, oh, he be talking all crazy shit. I'm fuck out of here. Share it anyway. I would do it for you. Share it. Subscribe to the channel. Make sure that you hit the like button. No fronting. So I got to get Block Talk out of here. Block Talk, you got to go. I got to let you go. I can't keep you on the line anymore. So I press end this show, end this episode, and then you go bye-bye. And thank you for the people who called in to listen to the show. The Block Talk, yeah, peace to you. Much peace and blessings. And then...